Psalm 77 in your Bible. Once again, Psalm 77, we're doing our series on When You Can't Just Get Over It. And the last Lord's Day, we began lesson number 5, and we made it through point number 1. Lesson number 5 is Rising Above Depression. Rising Above Depression. I think it's timely no matter what is going on. Talking about this subject, but it might be more timely in these days that we are living in. Psalm 77, where we looked at the author is Asaph, and I'm just going to give a quick review. In fact, we're just going to move right along. Let's see here. Let me just review in case you missed last week, if you're taking notes and you have the book, or if you don't have the book. Number 1 in our outline is Expressions of Depression. Expressions of depression, and basically we were discovering how does depression show itself, and then we talked about an inability to sleep is one way, and even though you would think we would be sleep easily because of lack of sleep, but it just continues to snowball, and it becomes more and more difficult to sleep because we never turn off our mind. And we've got to turn off our mind. We've got to let the Lord help us to turn off our mind, because when our mind is constantly churning, the body is saying, hey, can you stop it? You know, I need some rest. And am I okay to do this, Brother Joey? Okay. And I need some rest. And I've been guilty of that before, of just constantly thinking about things. Doesn't have to necessarily be negative. But I have a feeling that at nighttime we're probably worried about something or fearing something rather than thinking about the goodness of the Lord. And maybe not. If you're the exception to the rule, that's fine. But then we talked about letter B, inarticulate speech. And these are all from Psalm 77. Letter A was from verse 4. Letter B was from verse 4 as well. And you can look at those. I can't go through the whole thing or we'll never finish point 2 or 3. And then C is incorrect sight. Incorrect sight. And that's from Psalm 77, verses 5 and 6. And then letter D is an inward searching. And an inward searching, we basically look inward and get counsel from ourselves. And if we're already depressed, you're the last person to listen to is yourself. And so, but this is what happens. And this happens. And he said that, I commune with mine own heart, verse number 6. You see that at the end of the verse. And so we talked about an inward searching. Then letter E is an inundation of sorrow. An inundation of sorrow, and that's in verse number 8. And we said there, we talked about how that God's promises are new, mercies are new, his faithfulness is great. And then one that we all probably can relate to, letter F, how does depression show itself? Intense stress, and that's basically what we got up to. Finishing point number 1, let's pray, and then we're going to go into point number 2. Heavenly Father, thank you for the meeting thus far. Thank you for this Psalm 30. Wow, what a help, Psalm 30. I pray that we would not just have listened to it and read it today, but that we would think about that and maybe even read it again later tonight, tomorrow, and just meditate on that. So much there that you have for us, and very timely. We thank you for that. And then, Lord, we also thank you for these hymns that we were able to sing, and we pray that it was a sweet sound to you, whether or not we hit all the notes, but I pray, Lord, that we were genuinely worshiping you while singing. And we thank you for the hope of heaven as believers. And we do anticipate that day. And we would also right now even pray for some that are very sick and need a healing touch, that you would do that according to your will. And Lord, just meet with us now as we again consider this topic that is very real. It's very real. And to some, maybe even very real right now. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, number 2. Big number 2, the causes of depression. The causes of depression. Now, I know you're in Psalm 77, but I want you to hold your place there and go with me to Psalm 89. Psalm 89, the causes of depression. Have you ever heard someone say that Christians should be the most joyful people in all the world? Have you ever heard that before? You know, I've probably said it. I know I've heard it before. And you know what? It's true. It is true. We should be the most joyful people in all the world. Psalm 89 in verse number 15, God's word says, "Blessed is the people that know the joyful sound. They shall walk, O Lord, in the light of thy countenance. In thy name shall they," what? "Rejoice for a little while." Is that what it says? No, that's not what it says. It says, "Rejoice all the day." And maybe that's something that you ought to underline. Rejoice all the day. And then circle it. And then put it on a 3x5 card and put it somewhere. Do you still have 3x5 cards? Do we still use those in today's digital technology age? Write it in your journal. Write it somewhere where you're going to see it. Rejoice in the Lord all day. Rejoice all the day. And in thy righteousness they shall be exalted. And so, yes, Christians should be joyful. We should allow God's goodness to flow in and through us. And just by saying Christians, hello, that's enough to cause a poochy lip to be a smiley face. Okay, what does it mean? It means you're saved, you're forgiven, you're on your way to heaven, you're not going to hell. Can somebody say amen out there in radio land, internet land? You're on your way to heaven, you're not going to hell. Jesus Christ is King, God is your heavenly Father, etc., etc., etc. Just in thinking about that, that's the biggest thing, yes. But, you know, every day he is giving me things that are caused me to be have joy unspeakable and full of glory. Just the fact that we had something to eat this morning and good air to breathe and a Bible to read from and believers to encourage one another. All of it goes on and on and on. And so let's be reminded of that yes, we ought to be joyful, and honestly, we have no excuse for being depressed. Now, it comes, and we want it to go as quickly as it comes, though. Okay, there are causes for it, so let's look at these. As we continue into this psalm, again, the writer of this psalm is Asaph. Let's look at letter A. Letter A, distorted view of God. A distorted view of God. Notice verse number 3. I remembered God. Well, that's good. That's a good thought, isn't it? I remembered God. Good thought. But notice what he says afterwards. And was troubled. What? Troubled? When I think, and when we think of God, and when we think of our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, we want to be encouraged, as we just said. But you know what happens in our life? You know what happens sometimes in my life? And it's happened in the lives of some that I've talked to. And again, I'm not being judgmental because it's happened to me. Is here's what happens. And we begin to blame God for thus and so. You know, God allowed my mom to die. Or God allowed my job to be phased out. Or God allowed my health to be to go down, and God allowed this, and God allowed that. Where was God when this happened? And you know what? That can happen. Maybe you've never said that, but maybe you thought that before. I would say this is a distorted view of God. This is why the writer of Psalm 77 says, I thought of God, and unfortunately, I was troubled. You know, depression leads us to blaming God for fill in the blank. God is not to be blamed for anything. God is good. God is love. God is full of mercy, and God is full of long-suffering and loving kindness and all of the above. God is good, and God is to be trusted. But see, when we begin to start to allowing wrong thinking and a distorted view of God to come in, then when anything and everything that comes into our life that we didn't want to come in, and by the way, isn't that the key to all of this? We didn't think we needed this. But if you're a child of the King, God knows what you need. And God knows what I need. And I might need some chastening, as we said in the devotion this morning, if you're following along in that. God knows I might need something, a poke over here or a poke over there, to cause me to remember just who it is that's giving me the air to breathe. This distorted view of God. You know, Job, we think of going through difficult times. We think of Job, and just recently, someone referred to Job in an email and how it's a trying time. And that's really where we go to in the book, in God's Word, is the book of Job. And you know, I want you to quickly, maybe it's in your book there and you don't need to turn, but if you don't have the book, Job 1:16. And one of Job's servants came to announce the tragedy. You remember that story, how that goes? You know, one right after the other. It's interesting. how the Bible words it here. In Job 1:16, it says, the fire of God is fallen from heaven and hath burned up the sheep. But who was it that actually sent those trials to Job? Well, God allowed them, but it was Satan who sent them. You know, hast thou considered my servant Job? Okay, you can go ahead, but just, you know, only go so far, and came back a second time. See, God wasn't the source of his trials. It was a test from Satan. James says, let no man say when he is tempted that I am tempted of God, for God cannot be tempted with evil, neither tempteth he any man. And so a lot of the things that we look at and we say, why did God? Well, actually, we brought him on. Because of our sinful condition that we are in all the time, we need God's help to overcome sin. That's what brings it on. So a distorted view of God. How about this one? Letter B. Here's something else that brings on depression, a cause of it. Bitterness toward God. So we start blaming God and we get a distorted view of God. We think God is up in heaven and he's got this billy club in his hands and he's pounding us like the whack-a-mole game. Have you ever played the whack-a-mole? And probably not recently, but anyway, whack-a-mole, you know. And that's God. Every time I pop my head up a little bit, God hammers me. That's not God. That's not my God anyway. If that's your God, you might want to find a new one, the God of the Bible, okay? But that's what we think. Oh, man, I get ahead a little bit financially, or I get ahead a little bit in this way, I get ahead a little bit in that way. We can all attest to that financially, probably. All right, this is going well, and that's going well, and then whammo. So a distorted view of God. But then that rolls into bitterness toward God. See, bitterness doesn't come into my life, and bitterness doesn't come into your life, as we say, when the sun is shining. Bitterness comes into our life when things are difficult and the storms of life come into our life, and it's easy during those times to become bitter against God when it's difficult. The Bible, though, tells us in Paul's writing to the church at Thessalonica to give thanks in everything. 1 Thessalonians 5:18, in everything, give thanks. Maybe not for everything, but in everything. So no matter what you are holding today in your spiritual life, you can say, God, I give you thanks in this. You've allowed this into my life for a purpose. You've allowed this into my life for your glory to be revealed. You've allowed this into my life for my spiritual growth. And I think we're going to be talking about that later today. Hopefully we get to it. But don't allow these things that you're holding on to right now to distort your view of God, which will then lead to a spirit of bitterness. I mean, again, go back to how you were and how we were before Christ rescued us from our sinful condition. And we become so frustrated and bent out of shape from time to time that God doesn't do it how we want God to do it. Did you hear that? God doesn't do it how we want God to do it. Oh, wait a minute. Who's God? If that's my attitude, I'm kind of taking the place of God in my life. I'm not God, by the way. And so, but that's what happens. This, I wrote down in my notes, this is the real issue. I think it was the real issue when Lazarus died. You remember Mary and Martha, and their brother Lazarus died. And they came to him and said, hey, I mean, good night. You should have been here. And if you would have been here, my brother wouldn't have died. Their idea of God's will was different than God's will. But remember, God's will is always best. God's will is always going to bring him the most glory through us. Isn't that what we want? The problem is, I think many times we want the pat on the back and we want the glory and we want this or that. And so, no, God is trying to work in your life and in my life in order that we might be decreased and he will be increased. John 3:30. So that's what we all need. And so Mary and Martha, they had an idea of it being done this way, and they had a schedule that it should be done that way. And yet Jesus Christ arrived just in time. Yes, he had been dead 4 days, and yes, he stinketh, I think is what it says in there, John chapter number 11, and all of this. But Jesus had a plan. And as I've said over and over again, and I'm still trying to learn it, God is seldom early, never late, and always on time. seldom early. I like to be early, don't you? But you know what? God doesn't work like I work, thankfully. Never late. Don't be late. Big, bad character when we're late. But he's always on time. Always on time. I've thought about that recently in different confrontations, in a good way, not in a bad way. Don't think when somebody says confrontation that it's a bad thing all the time, okay? But different confrontations that God, and maybe that's not the right word, but different things that God's brought into our life, and it was timing. And if we could have, we would have never envisioned it that way, but when it comes, we know that was God's timing. God was working that together. God is the master planner. Let God have his timing in your life. Don't allow what is going on to distort your view of God, and don't allow what is going on to bring bitterness into your life. Letter C, another thing that causes depression is we doubt about God. We doubt about God. Three verses of Scripture, verses 7 to 9 of our text, Psalm 77, Asaph asks six questions about the Lord. Will the Lord cast off forever? Will he be favorable no more? Is his mercy clean gone forever? Doth his promise fail? Now you say, wow, I can't believe it. You know what? We've all been there. Yeah, it's just that God didn't have you write or me write one of the Psalms. But we probably have come to that place before. Hath God forgotten to be gracious? What's going on here? Man, you know, a few times in these last 13 months, I've kind of went back in my mind's eye to Dr. Flanders' revival meeting. Have you done that? I went back to Dr. Flanders' revival meeting, and I remember over here on the other side, 7768, where we had a prayer meeting and things were, and we had meetings over there and the preaching and Sunday and Monday and Tuesday and Wednesday, and we had people follow the Lord and believers' baptism beginning of 2020, and plans were made, and this and that and the other thing were made, and then boom, 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 boom. And here we are, April of 2021. And I look back and I think about that there are times when, again, we let our mind wander, which is never a good thing. And we ask a question like, hath God forgotten? What's going on here? But God hasn't forgotten a thing. God hasn't missed a beat. God is God, and I want him to be God, and I just want to be me and let God use me, and I want God to use you. And let us right now not allow the enemy to cause us to doubt God. God has taken care of everything. Yes, many people have passed away in the last 13 months. Many people's lives have been changed forever in the last 13 months. But that's happened throughout all of history. Not just in the last 13 months. Read it. Read this. It's a great history book. God worked in mysterious ways in the Bible too. And he always has, and he always will. Let's not let media, let's not let fear, let's not let whoever cause us to doubt God. He is in control. He always has been, he always will be. But here's the deal. We want to understand everything. This is where I'm guilty at times. If I don't understand it, then, you know, I can't keep moving forward. No, we don't have to understand it. Songwriter said we'll understand it better by and by. Right? And that's true. I don't have to completely understand it. You know what I have to do? I have to continue to feed my soul with this book right here, yield my life to God every single day, and just say, Holy Spirit of God, this is the new day. Please guide my steps. And you know what? If I get up the next day, I can do the same thing. And it's just one day, one day, one day. Not 1 month, 1 week, 1 year. If anything I've been learning in the last 13 months, that's one thing I've been learning. Don't live so far ahead. Live right now. And squeeze everything out of every day. Because you know what? It could be my last. I don't know if I'm going to make it to 116. Like this lady in the U.S. made it to 116. No, we might. Some of us might not make it out of this year. So we better squeeze everything out of it. We better squeeze everything out of it. So we've looked at the expressions. We've looked at the causes. How about the cure? Hey, man, how about the cure? Here we go. So, nine verses, Psalm 77, 1 to 9, Asaph has been pouring out his emotions and his feelings. Now, in verse 10, though, things begin to change. Look at Psalm 77, verse 10. I will remember the works of the Lord. Surely I will remember thy wonders of old. Is that the right verse? No, I read verse 11, verse 10. And I said, this is my infirmity, but I will remember the years of the right hand of the Most High. Notice the end of verse number 9 is the word Selah. It means, think about this. Think about this. So he writes out all those verses, challenges us through his life. God uses that in our life. But now things begin to change, and he picks up his pen once again, and under the divine inspiration of the Word of God, he gives us something that can help cure the problem. I would say the beginning of chapter 77 are Asaph's feelings. Feelings. Do you have feelings? I hope you have feelings. I have feelings. You have feelings. But we cannot live by those. Why? Because they change all the time. One day they're up here. One day they're down here. One day they're here. They're all over the map, men and women alike. Feelings. If I live by how I felt, then who knows what would have happened in my life in the last 13 months. We cannot get caught up in that way of living. It's a trap. Well, I just don't feel like it. Well, aren't you glad Jesus Christ didn't say that in the Garden of Gethsemane? I just don't feel like it. And he finished what the Father sent him to do. But we see here that even though he's dealing about feelings, now, though, the corner is being turned, and now he's coming more to the truth of who God is. Not what Asaph is feeling, not what Asaph has gone through, not what Asaph thinks, not what Asaph wants God to do, but who God is. That's the key, isn't it? And we've kind of touched on that already. Who God is. Notice this right hand in verse number 10. This right hand, a hand of power, a hand of deliverance. It's a hand of blessing. It's a hand of strength. It's a hand of salvation. We must focus on God. This is the great cure for depression overall. Letter A, recall God's blessings. Recall God's blessings. He remembered the blessings, the answered prayers, the works that God had orchestrated in his life, and we must do the same. Samuel was one of the judges over Israel. I was reading about judges, some of the judges this morning in my Bible reading, and amazing. That's an amazing time, by the way, in Israel's history as well. I trust if you've never read about it, you ought to, and just learn a little bit more about that. What you'll be thankful for is God's mercy. And you'll look at the roller coaster ride of Israel and think, wow, that sounds like sometimes my life. That one day I'm living for the Lord and one day I'm not living for the Lord as I ought to be. And yet he doesn't just zap me right away, you know. His mercy. And that's what Israel's testimony is. But Samuel set up what's called the Ebenezer Stone. The Ebenezer Stone. And it was near the city of Mizpah. The reason he set up that stone was to commemorate the victory over the Philistines. Every time they would see that stone, they would remember the victory. The word Ebenezer means, hitherto hath the Lord helped us. Hitherto hath the Lord helped us. We have a song in our hymn book where it says, here I raise mine Ebenezer. We raise our stone of remembrance. Hither by thy help I'm come. I have many of those in my life. Do you? Do you have times in your life where God gave you the victory? You should, and you should be. You should somehow be marking them down. You should somehow be writing them down or having those Ebenezer stones. We read about that in 1 Samuel 7:12. If you want to turn over there, maybe that would be a good idea. Let's look at it. 1 Samuel 7:12. Recall God's blessings. Then Samuel took a stone and set it between Mizpah and Shen and called the name of it Ebenezer, saying, "Hitherto hath the Lord helped us." This is a reminder of things that God has done in your life and God has done in my life. You know, I'm thankful for prayer pages, and I'm thankful for little books that we write requests on. And again, in recent days, I've been able to go through one of my little books that I use, and I've been able to cross through some of them and write praise. Now every time I read through, there's a few requests, and then there's a praise. You know what that is? That's a reminder God answers prayer. You have something like that? And I think it's great to keep track of these things and have a notebook and have, I know some people like to journal and write things in this way. I'm just saying one way for you and for me to overcome, overcome depression is to remember the goodness of God. Remember His blessings, to recall God's blessings. Psalm 31 and verse 19, "Oh, how great is thy goodness, which thou hast laid up for them that fear thee, which thou hast wrought for them that trust in thee before the sons of men." Recall God's blessings. It kind of goes right along with it, but number two is remember God's works. Remember God's works. Psalm 77, 11 in our text, one I read just a moment ago out of turn. "I will remember the works of the Lord." I will remember the works of the Lord. He's meditating on the wonderful works of the Lord, and it's helping him, it's ministering to him. You know, I'm told here in the notes that there's over 40 references in the Bible that refer back to the crossing of the Red Sea. Think about that. Is there a purpose? What is the purpose in that? Remember. Remember. And over again, and we're going to look at later today when the Apostle Paul was preaching, and that's what he does. He goes back and he talks about things that happened in Israel's history. Remember the things of God. Remember the wonders of old. Pause and reflect on what God has done. So recall God's blessings. Raise your Ebenezer stone. You know, I have all kinds of little trinkets. I'm a pack rat. I collect things like that. But you know what they do for me? They are my Ebenezers. I don't really call them that, but I'm claiming it right now. So if somebody wants me to get rid of something, I'm going to say, no, that's my Ebenezer stone. Okay, don't get rid of that. And why? What am I saying? I'm saying, you know what? That's going to remind me of somebody. Most of the things are people from Anchor Baptist that have given me, or missionaries or travels, and they're just little insignificant things that might look at it and probably have no monetary value, but they have great value because they remind me. Many things in my office today have been given to me by people that are in heaven now. I have two pairs of Brother Gordon's glasses over there. You say, what in the world? What are you doing? Are you crazy? Yeah, that's okay. Every time I see him in that coffee mug, I remember Brother Gordon. I remember him wearing those glasses. I've got candy over there that Mrs. Miksha gave me. Just recently, and just within the last week, was the anniversary of her homegoing, I believe, 2 years ago. I love these people. I love these people dearly. I'm glad they're in heaven, though. I'm glad they're not here in this world, right, earth right now. Glad they're with the Lord. But you know what? God's brought people into our lives. And I'm glad for pictures, aren't you? I know pictures have changed over the years, haven't they? You know, with our first child, we have this photo album. And then photo album, and they just kept going. And then all of a sudden, we have no more photo albums. But we have pictures, more pictures now than we did then. And maybe that's happened to you as well. And I'm not saying it's a bad thing. I'm just saying when we look at those pictures, and I don't know what program it is, but I have something on my phone. I think it's Amazon or something. But every day, almost every day, I get this picture that comes up. This thing comes up and says, "Look at what happened 5 years ago." And I've got all these pictures that are tied in, and they send me this picture. I'm like, "Wow, look at that! You know, that's back when I was really skinny. That's back when I was really fat." That's, you know, and all these kids that have grown up over the years, you know what they are? It's a reminder of God's goodness. And I'm just thankful for it. Recall God's blessings. Remember God's works. C is not a number. It's a letter. Okay? School. Refocus your mind. Refocus your mind. Look at verse 12. "I will meditate also of all thy work and talk of thy doings." I love that second part of the verse. I think this is so key to being a witness for Christ. talk. Boy, aren't we guilty of not saying anything to anyone all week about the Lord? Oh, we talk about this, we talk about that, we talk about this, we talk about that, but how much do we talk about the Lord? I'm not saying in our homes, we need to do it there, for sure. I'm saying when we go out and we're around people that do not know the Lord, who are depressed, who are discouraged, who are on edge, who are fearful, we have the answer. What's the answer? Talk of His doings. Talk of His grace. Talk of what He's done in your life to refocus our mind. Oh, I'm so thankful for what God continues to do in my life. Negative thinking leads to negative living. Let's think on the things of the Lord. I submit to you that meditating on the Word of God will help prevent future depression. Help prevent it. Again, depression is not, we are not immune to depression as God's children. I'm going to tell you that. We're not immune to it. It can come quickly. I believe it can go quickly too if we follow biblical principles. And letter D, rejoice in the Lord. Rejoice in the Lord. And I think Psalm 30 goes along with this. Some of the verses in Psalm 30 go right along with this. We always have room for rejoicing. Praise God. And by the way, let's praise God out loud. Let people know that God is good and God has blessed and God is at work in your life. Verses 13 to 15, Thy way, O God, is in the sanctuary. Who is so great a God as our God? Thou art the God that doest wonders. Thou hast declared Thy strength among the people. Thou hast with Thine arm redeemed Thy people, the sons of Jacob and Joseph, Selah. Of course, we know that Philippians 4:4 is a song. It could be a scripture song. Rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. Always find reasons to rejoice in His unchanging love for you. Aren't you glad for that? Psalm 77, verse 19. Thy way is in the sea, Thy path in the great waters, and Thy footsteps are not known. God is always at work, even when we don't see His footprints. We mentioned that on Wednesday night. God at work. God at work. Faith is the evidence of things not seen. We reminded this today. There are seasons in life. Remember this. There are seasons in life when God is silent. But He's not dead. Just silent. What do we do in those seasons? We keep reading His Word. We keep praying. We keep trusting. We meditate on His goodness. We don't see what He's doing. That's okay. Rising above depression. I don't mean to discourage you right now, but let's be real. Rising above depression doesn't typically take place in a moment. It takes place over a series of decisions. We've been given some help from God's Word the last 2 weeks about depression. Now the question is, what are we going to do with it? Is it going to go in this ear and right out the other? And okay, that's nice. I'm still depressed. Well, that's your fault. Okay? We have principles and we have God's Word and instruction from God's Word to help us with this. It is the choices of many successive moments as we choose to rejoice in the Lord. We don't just get up one morning and say, I'm not going to be depressed ever again. No. We get up and we, again, as I said earlier, we get up and we live one day and we say, okay, this is the day the Lord hath made. We will rejoice and be glad. And we just live that way. And the next day, this is the day the Lord hath made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. You know, depression holds us captive. It holds us captive. It cripples us, doesn't it? It cripples you. It cripples me. Is this how God wants me to live? No. Is this how God wants you to live? No. God wants us to live in victory. God wants us to live overcoming. We are overcomers through the Lord Jesus Christ. It is not in my strength. It is not in me meditating and meditating just on me and this and that. And I'm going to... No, it's meditating on the Word. It's listening to the Holy Spirit of God who wrote the Word of God as I'm reading it and letting the Lord... And again, when we read the Scripture on Sunday morning, it's not just to spend 2 minutes of filler time. No, it's so that when we're reading it, whoever's reading it here, we read it and we follow along. And we're asking God, show me something. And when you're doing your Bible reading, it isn't just so you can mark it off. It's so that you're storing up information and you're storing up Bible truths and you're storing up help so that when the enemy comes to bring depression, to bring discouragement, to bring whatever, you're prepared. That I'm prepared, that we're ready to win the battle, that we're ready to say, no, no, I'm not going there. God is good. God is faithful. I can trust Him. When depression comes, when discouragement comes, we can face it, and God wants us to live victoriously through it. I believe in the life of Asaph, we see someone who was in the middle of it. I believe we see someone who is going right through it, those first 9 verses. I mean, it was a struggle. And yet we see someone who lets us know this is how to come out of it. From verses 10 onward, we see the cure. I hope that you will allow God's word through God's spirit to continue to minister to you in difficult days. There might be someone listening right now. You may not have a diagnosis for it, but you feel like, you know what, those first 9 verses, that's me. I'm right there right now. Keep reading. Keep reading to the end of the chapter, because that's where the help is. Don't stop in verse 9. Keep reading. Hey, reach out to someone who would like to help you. I mean this with all sincerity. Sometimes you need to talk to someone. Number one, God's there to talk to you anytime, okay? And that's where, if you haven't been asking the Lord for help, really, you don't need to talk to anybody with skin on. You need to talk to the Lord. But God puts people in our life to encourage and help us, and He says to edify one another. So if you find yourself right now in a very difficult way, and it's just you just can't get out of it, and you're praying and you're seeking the Lord, but you really want to talk to someone, I'm here. I don't have all the answers, but I know the Lord is the answer. His word is the answer. Pastor Nathan is available. Our wives are available to help, ladies. Don't just continue to go through life living one day after another and saying, I don't want to talk to somebody because I'll be embarrassed. Come on. For the family of God. We all have things that we are weak in. I have areas of life that I'm weak in. I need the Lord's help every day. But don't let it snowball to the point that it causes you to close this book and close off God and start saying, I can't believe God did this, and that's a very dangerous place to go. Doubting God, because God is good.